Courage. I learned it from my adoptive mom.
Hold my hand.
You hold my hand.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Tuesday, May 21st. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. In the U.S., the number of university students majoring in computer and information science has jumped 40% in 5 years, to more than 600,000 as of 2023. But job opportunities haven't kept up with that, and recent grads are discovering their degrees are no longer a surefire ticket to tech industry riches. Reporter Catherine Binley is going to join us with more on that. And then, Microsoft announced yesterday a new personal computer optimized for artificial intelligence. Our senior personal tech columnist Joanna Stern sat down with Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella for an exclusive interview. We'll have highlights from their conversation. We're talking about tech jobs first. Computer science is hotter than ever at U.S. universities. But tech companies that were expanding aggressively a few years ago now have less need for entry-level hires, or are shedding jobs. Here to discuss this shift and how it's affecting graduates this spring is our technology reporter Catherine Binley. Katie, tell us about some of the factors that have led to shrinking opportunities for new grads in tech.
Yeah, so this has been a slowly developing thing, I would say. We had overhiring during the pandemic. Then we had a subsequent downturn in the tech industry. And so you had kind of a correction going on where there were thousands and thousands of people laid off over the course of a couple of years. And so it's just a really different environment. And a lot of that also has to do with developments in artificial intelligence. There's basically just like a shifting of resources going on. So companies that were putting more money toward all different kinds of things are now really marshaling a lot of resources for AI. And so that just means they need fewer people in other areas of their companies.
So how are computer science students changing their strategy when it comes to finding jobs?
One of the things that's happening is they're having to just cast a much wider net. So I spoke with someone in career services at the University of North Carolina who was saying that typically in recent years, what you'd have is students applying to maybe 20 to 40 jobs, and they might have offers by Thanksgiving. And then this year, it was more like 150 jobs they were applying to, and a lot of them still didn't know where they were going to be working come spring. And so they're having to apply to many more jobs. And then also they're broadening the types of companies they would consider working for. So previously it might have been, okay, I want to be a software engineer at either one of the large tech companies or just one of the well-known ones. And instead what's happened is, you know, they're having to consider tech jobs outside the tech industry. So maybe a software engineering job in retail or in healthcare, or one student I talked to is interning at a digital advertising company this summer. So career services people I spoke with put it as looking at jobs where tech is a service versus a product.
CompSci majors from top-tier schools are still getting jobs. For those who do find positions, what are salaries like these days?
Yeah, we had some data that it's about $75,000 a year at the high end for computer science majors. But what's interesting is that the salaries are expected to be about 2.7% higher than last year's. And that's the smallest increase of 8 different fields that were reviewed by the National Association of Colleges and Employers. So just slower growth of salaries, really.
And are graduates adjusting their expectations based on these new market realities?
One woman I spoke with, you know, kind of always thought she would go into tech. That was the plan. And then she started to see seniors the year above her who were doing internships and then not getting return offers. And the whole tech industry just didn't seem as stable as she thought it was. So she's actually going to go work for a real estate investment management firm.
That was our reporter, Catherine Binley. Coming up, what is an AI-focused computer? And what makes it different from a traditional laptop? We'll tell you about Microsoft's new Windows platform optimized for AI after the break.
Courage. I learned it from my adoptive mom.
Hold my hand.
You hold my hand.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
all-day battery life, blazing performance, and amped-up AI features right on your laptop, so there's no need to send everything to the cloud. That's what Microsoft is promising with its new Copilot Plus PCs with Qualcomm's Snapdragon X Series chips. The company's new Surface laptop and Surface Pro tablet go on sale next month. Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella spoke exclusively with our senior personal tech columnist Joanna Stern about these new AI-focused PCs and how they will change what we can do on computers. We're bringing you highlights from a video featuring their conversation. We'll link the longer video in the show notes. Here it is, starting with Joanna.
What even is an AI computer? Microsoft's latest have new chips and AI software that can do some cool tricks without even needing to connect to the internet. After talking to Nadella and seeing the new Surface devices in action, I'll say it looks pretty darn promising.
Here's the interesting thing, right? Which is, if you sort of take all of what we've been talking about with AI, it all came about because of abundance of compute, all primarily in the cloud, right? So that's what created the GPT-4, for example, which essentially changed the world. Now, what happened in the cloud is going to come to the edge. And the edge that first needs to be reinvented before we talk about everything else is the PC. And so that's sort of what I think of as the AI PC or the Copilot Plus PCs.
Okay, translation for non-computer scientists. ChatGPT, Microsoft Copilot, those other generative AI tools you've been using, the processing happens in the cloud, aka some data center. Now, some AI processing will happen right on your computer, what is called edge computing. To do this, Microsoft had to add a new chip component.
Pretend I'm not a computer nerd. What is an NPU?
It's a neural processing unit. If you want to build any AI application, you have to have an accelerator, just like we have in the cloud, to be able to run these matrix math multiplications fast in order to drive AI features. And that's what the NPU does.
Okay, but what new AI powers does the NPU unlock in Windows?
One of the dreams we've always had is, how do we introduce memory, right? Photographic memory into what you do on the PC. And now we have it. So it's called recall. It's not keyword search, right? It's semantic search over all your history. And it's not just about any document. We can recreate moments from the past, essentially.
Here's how it works. Windows constantly takes screenshots of what's on your screen, then uses a generative AI model right on the device, along with the NPU, to process all that data and make it searchable. Even photos. You can also restrict recall from taking screenshots of certain websites or apps, or turn it off entirely.
And it seems to me this whole next wave of AI computing is going to be built somewhat around trust. If we're going to have AI agents that go out and do things for us, why should people trust Microsoft over another company?
I think we are at the very early stages of understanding how our relationship with AI agents should be shaped by us, primarily because that's the only way to build trust. If somebody else, this is not a vendor decision, it's a personal, maybe even spiritual decision of how we want to. That's why I don't believe there's just going to be one, right? Because I may have multiple agents that I may want to delegate different types of things to.
There's another AI feature called Co-Creator that runs locally, right on the device.
How do we really take good old Paint and say, hey, I'm not just painting myself, but I'm able to co-create with an AI.
You put in a text prompt.
A Windows XP wallpaper with a big green mountain.
Then start drawing, and a Stable Diffusion image generation model right on the device starts to generate an image based on your sketch. There's local live translation too. It can translate live video calls or in-person conversations from 44 different languages into English. And it's fast. All of this is powered by small language models that are stored on the device. Large language models like ChatGPT or Copilot still run in the cloud. In the coming weeks, Copilot will get OpenAI's latest GPT-4o model.
It's kind of like a new browser, effectively. So it's right there. It sees the screen. It sees the world. It hears you. And so it's kind of like that personal agent that's always there that you want to talk to. You can interrupt it. It can interrupt you.
AI is this new type of way of interacting with computers. Yet here you're releasing a pretty traditional looking type of computer.
You know, think about what we did back in the day when the internet happened. It sort of like the browser was born on Windows and it went beyond Windows. That's, I think, what's going to happen. That's why I think we want to make sure we build the Copilot Plus PC that's optimized for Copilot. But I fully expect the Copilot to be everywhere. And the innovation of the interface of your personal agent, how I interact with it, how it accesses memories, how it does actions, is going to be everywhere. It's going to be ambient. The future I see is a computer that understands me versus a computer that I have to understand.
That was WSJ senior personal tech columnist Joanna Stern speaking with Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella. You can check out the longer video of their conversation linked in our show notes. And that's it for Tech News Briefing. Today's show was produced by Anthony Bansi with supervising producer Catherine Millsop. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. We'll be back this afternoon with TNB Tech Minute. Thanks for listening.